And another great example of a newer written song with deep doctrinal words. So appreciate that. I knew that when they were practicing that. That's from the Galkin family. And that's a great family to listen to. The Galkins, I think it's how you say it. I don't know if it's Galkin or Galkin. It's G-A-L-K-I-N. I do have a couple of extra books. I'm going to give one to you guys back there. And does anybody not have their book tonight, their discipleship book? And you want to just look on in one? All right. All right, here. You run that back to the person who never has it. There you go. All right. All right. All right, we are going to be on page 119. And if you're here for the first time on a Sunday night, just want to let you know we're going through a book called Continue. It's meant to be a one-on-one discipleship curriculum. And we decided to go through this together as a church because you Sunday night crowd, you're going to be the disciplers. You're going to be the people who, when a new believer gets saved at our church, I may end up pairing you if you on a volunteer basis with someone, maybe to meet at your house on Wednesday nights during church. And you could have a couple over for a meal or an individual over for a meal, and then go through these basic doctrinal beliefs. And the curriculum is designed in a very basic format. You'll see that tonight. And tonight we're on lesson number 6, and we're almost halfway through. In fact, we may have time to get through all of lesson 6 and 7 and to do a quick interview because there's not a whole lot of content, especially in lesson chapter number 6. Lesson chapter number 6 is about your relationship with God's Word. I want you to go ahead and turn to page 120, so go ahead and turn to your next page there. We're going to go ahead and jump right in because a lot of this was covered in lesson 1. And also, 2 Sundays ago, I preached a message on a Sunday morning about our relationship with God's Word and how we shouldn't be illiterate when it comes to God's Word. So I'm going to skip through a lot of what we went through as we've gone through it on a Sunday morning already. There's a difference in knowing the Word of God and living the Word of God. And there's a difference in just simply having a mind that knows the very words that are written down and actually living the life. But God's Word can meet your needs. God's Word can meet your needs. The Bible is profitable for your life. You'll notice that blank there. The Bible is profitable for your life. I'm going to give out some scriptures to be read, and how we've been doing this is I'll call on anybody. I'll call out a reference and someone will raise your hand. And just for sake of unity, we just ask that you read it in the King James. We have a 2 Timothy 3:16, very familiar passage. Yes, Allison. We have a 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. Drake, thank you. Job 23:12. Asa, thank you. Romans 10:17. Brother Sill. And these that have two, I'm just going to skip one of them. Joshua 1:8. Thank you, William. Psalm 119:11. Thank you, Titus. 2 Timothy 2:15. We're almost done with this one. Yes, Sheila. And James 1:22 through 25. James 1:22. Jessica, 22 through 25. Romans 12:2. Some of you have that memorized. Romans 12:2. Joseph, thank you. James 1:21. James 1:21. Brother Sill, thank you. Let's see. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. Brother Steve. And then Kelly, if you could do 2 Corinthians 3:18. And then last one, Hebrews 5:13 through 14. Hebrews 5:13 through 14. Thank you, Albert. All right, so let's go ahead and back to page 120 there. The Bible is profitable for your life. 2 Timothy 3:16. Allison, go ahead. So it gives us four things that the Bible is profitable for in our life. Number one, it's doctrine. It teaches us what to believe. Reproof, it shows us where we are wrong. Correction, it tells us how to get back on track or how to fix what is wrong. And then instruction, it gives us direction for daily living, the truth. Every one of these are vital for a Christian who wants to build their life upon a foundation of truth. The Bible is the key to your Christian life. You can't live a Christian life without the Bible. You've got to have that as your foundation and what you live by, because the Word of God is just that. It is the Word of God. It has all of the doctrine, all the reproof, all the correction, all the instruction that we need to be profitable in this life. The Bible nourishes your spiritual growth. The Bible nourishes your spiritual growth. Just as a baby would not grow without milk, so a Christian will not grow without taking in God's word. I hear the comment quite frequently amongst other believers at other churches, I just don't feel like I'm being fed at that church. I just don't feel like I'm being fed at that church. Now, in some churches, that's true. Why? Because they preach a lot about the Bible. They don't preach from it. And there's a lot of talk about Bible, but there's no Bible. There's not like an exposition. There's not like a diving in, as we did this morning in John chapter number 8. It's just kind of fluffy and kind of, they might read a verse here or there, kind of like Joel Osteen. They might use a verse as a launching pad to a TED Talk. But that's not preaching, and that's not something that is profitable for us. But the Bible is to nourish us. 1 Peter 2:2. Thank you, Drake. Lasting growth in a Christian's life can only come through the transforming power of God's Word. And now let's look at how we can make God's Word a part of our regular routines in life. So this is getting down to brass tacks in the Christian life. So this is really good for us. God's Word should be in your routines. For the Word of God to impact you personally, you must encounter it regularly. In other words, it must be part of your daily living. There are several ways that God instructs us to include God's Word in our lives. Number one, we should read it daily. Read it daily. If you have trouble spelling read, it's on the screen. So all of these fill in the blanks are also on the screen. If you have trouble, if superfluity of naughtiness shows up in one of the blanks, you'll know how to spell it. All right? Job 23:12.
Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food.
Right. If we were to go without a meal, we'd know it. You know, if we went without lunch and it gets around 3 p.m., number one, we're going to be cranky. It's going to change our actions, it's going to change our attitudes, it's going to change everything about us. So is it with the Word of God. When we are emaciated from our lack of diving into the Word of God and reading the Word of God, it affects our spiritual life. We should read the Bible daily. So give some practical steps here. Number one, set a time and a place to read it regularly. Set a time and a place to read regularly. Some would disagree with me with this. But not every person, it's not the best time for every person to read the Bible in the morning. Some of you are not morning people at all. And to read the Bible in the morning for you is like you don't get anything out of it. You're half awake. Whether you're in the body or out of the body, you don't know. And you just don't know what's going on. And for some of you, right before bed is when your mind is the most active. And some of you are night owls. You know, I know Brother Ronnie is a night owl. I think he's on security right now. And Brother David's, and I mean, some of you just stay up. I don't get it. But some of you just stay up for a long time, and your mind is the most active. And that is the time when you want to read God's Word, when you're freshest mentally. Follow a Bible reading plan. Hey, if you struggle with just reading the Bible, get a Bible reading plan. There are no shortages of Bible reading plans out there. Number one, there's one in your book. I mean, literally, at the end of every chapter of this, it's got a Bible reading plan of how to read through the New Testament in a year, the whole Bible in a year, and a topical reading schedule. Not that, but there's so many Bible apps available today. I'm not even going to, I mean, there's the Olive Tree Bible app, there's the YouVersion, there's the KJV Bible app. There's so many apps that can keep you on track. I would just say, whatever you do, just commit to it. And whatever you would be able to commit to, if you're not an organized person, you need the app there to organize you, just do it that way. And that would be a great thing. Follow a Bible reading plan. Ask God to guide you before you read. Ask questions about what you read. It's important that you not just read it, but you read with the focus of comprehension. Read with the focus of comprehension. That sometimes is the danger with a Bible reading plan, because some of these Bible reading plans have you reading 5 chapters a day. It's hard to comprehend, especially the Old Testament or maybe the book of Romans. If you're reading Romans 1 through 5, I mean, come on. You could take away stuff you already know, but it's hard to dive in and really, really comprehend what you're reading. For some of you, if you're a newer Christian, it might make sense for you to study 4 or 5 verses a day. It might make sense for you to read 4 or 5 verses in the New Testament, to go through the book of John, 5 verses in the book of John, and then read a whole proverb a day. You've probably heard of the proverb a day because there's usually 31 days in a month. That's 31 months in a year. Come on. But 31 days in a month, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs can really help give you wisdom. That's what the instruction is for there, to give you wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and read Proverbs. It's a great thing to get wisdom in your daily life. Keep a journal or notebook to record verses and passages that the Holy Spirit applies to your life. Write down what God does. Highlight things. Get a study Bible. I know some of you, you don't write in the Bible that you carry to church. I don't. I don't write at all in the Bible that I preach from, just because I like the fresh, clean look, because I know I'm going to go back to that passage and preach something from those pages again, and it'll distract me because I see squirrels and rabbit trails everywhere. But some of you, you need to get a study Bible and you need to mark it up. My wife does a thing where she has a journaling Bible, and that's been a huge blessing for her. Can I see your journaling Bible? This is like, I think it's $25 on Amazon or something. And so my wife's Bible's like this. I would encourage you in the room, if you like to journal while you read, it's awesome. It's kind of a way you can go back. And she even takes sermon notes in here. Here's a sermon from Kurt Skelly from 2019 from 2 Chronicles 32. She's got that recorded in her Bible, the main points and kind of what God taught her through the messages. And as we get to the book of John, I'm sure it's full. Yeah, so, yeah, if you look here, I mean, it's just full. And I'm not just trying to say my wife reads the Bible a lot, but I'm just saying there's a whole side of this. And they even make Bibles now, and still, I want to use yours too. They even make Bibles now where literally half of the page is a journaling Bible, but Sills is really cool. So check this out. This is just the New Testament. He keeps apologizing because it's the Bible in binder form. I've heard you apologize for like 10 times. Just as I'm getting ready for your Sunday school, I think he wants to make sure I know he's preaching the Bible or something. But he has it in binder form, and he's got a big note section on the set, huge note section, by the way, on this. And it's in a binder form. It's just different.
I just got it.
It's just, there's not, I'm not. Brother, so, I understand what you mean. I'm not judging your Bible, all right? So, right? He just got it, all right? That's why there's no notes in it. Brother Sill. So that's great. So find something unique. Find something that works for you. There's no shortage of things on Amazon. I will say this, even in the Christian bookstores, there's not much by the way of like study Bibles or note-taking Bibles anymore. We even went to go buy a Bible of a lady who's about to be discipled in our church, Kathy Charles, who got saved a few weeks ago. We got a name put on her Bible. I love that they still have that service, to put a name on a Bible. That's hard to find. And we went to Mardell. But Mardell, even their Bible section, we were looking at it and we're like, man, there's not a lot here. In every translation, not just the King James. I mean, there's just not a lot there. But Amazon has so many resources of different things. Is that where you got yours? Where did you get your binder Bible?
Spiralbible.com.
So there's another resource. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, okay, I was on page 122. Hear it consistently. So there's some practical helps, but hear it consistently. In addition to your daily Bible reading, you need to hear the preaching and teaching from God's Word at church. Romans 10:17.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen. I love Sill's reading voice. If only he had a real Bible, but I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I just had to give him a hard time about that. All right. So hearing comes by the Word of God as well. So we should be faithful to church, not just for the fellowship, not just for the edification of each other, but for the proclamation of the very Word of God. I'll tell you this, I take that responsibility as your pastor very seriously. That I make sure I'm extremely prepared. Now, it doesn't always come out right, but if you were to take a look at my notes, I mean, the preparation is there, the organization is there. I promise you, I am trying to give you something to feed you. He asked Peter, Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Knowing that Peter would go on to preach at Pentecost, knowing that Peter would go on to help found the New Testament church. A big part of you coming to church is you being fed. And I do hear a lot of people say, I just feel like I'm not being fed at that place. You also have to be willing to receive the meal. My kids today at lunch, they had a lot of snacks. We feed a lot of snacks at church, And then do you have trouble when you go home trying to get your kids to eat lunch sometimes because they've had so many goldfish that it's like a big goldfish in their stomach and they're, you know, it's just struggling. But my kids, sometimes I'll put, we'll put food, my wife will put food in front of them and they won't eat. Now that's not, this is going to come across a little bit blunt, but that's not our fault as their parents, other than maybe allowing them to eat too many goldfish or something like that. But if they won't eat, they won't eat. It's the same thing when you come to church. Hey, you should be preparing to hear the word of God before you walk into the room at church. Amen. You should be preparing for it all week as you read your Bible. Lord, you should be meditating on what was preached the last time you heard the word of God preached. You should be thinking about the next passage. We're preaching through the book of John. And moving forward, it's going to be pretty rare that we take a break. So you know the next passage. You know the next passage that's coming. It's going to be John 9, 1 through 11 next week about the blind man. I mean, you know the next passage. Why don't you go ahead and dive into John 9, 1 through 11, make it part of your daily Bible reading. And then as I preach it, you're going to say, you know what? He didn't get to the part I wanted, but he got to some stuff I didn't see. And it's kind of a shared experience sometimes. So that's another good thing. Hear it consistently. Meditate on it continually. Meditate on it continually. Joshua 1, verse number 8. William.
This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have great success.
Amen. Did any of you as a kid learn the song that goes with that? You did? Yeah, I learned it as an adult too. There's a good song that goes with that that you could memorize, help you memorize that verse as well. Did I give Psalm 1, 2 through 3 to anybody? I don't think I did. But look that up on your own time. Psalm 1 is an excellent thing about implanting yourself in the Word of God and walking with wisdom. One of the disciplines of meditation is to begin memorizing Scripture so you have it available to think on. Particularly if you're a new Christian and you have some kind of serious sin in your life, memorize Scripture about your sin. And whenever you are tempted to sin, go back to that Scripture. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Memorize that when I was in high school, but it's still here. And it still reverbs in my mind when I'm tempted to be angry. Be angry and sin not. Saying that the emotion of anger is not always wrong. It's not always coupled with sin unless you allow it the root in your life and you allow it to get into your spirit. So meditate on it continually. Memorize Scripture. You are already beginning to memorize Scripture in your weekly assignments. So as you're discipling people through this, part of the assignment is for them to memorize Scripture. Choose verses to memorize based on what you're learning and areas you know you need to grow in. Study it, going to page 123, study it regularly. Study it regularly. In addition to your Bible reading, church attendance, and Bible memory, you will come across times in your life or areas of confusion where you need to know what the Bible says about a particular topic or truth. Although you may not dig deep into the Bible study every day, have times in your life when you do study God's Word beyond simply reading it. This kind of Bible study often takes place in adult Bible classes at church. It is also something you should do on your own with various topics or words. You can use the concordance in the back of your Bible for help. Certainly Bibles that have Bible studies in them as well can be a help. I'm a huge proponent, obviously, of commentaries. One of my favorite commentaries is Warren Wiersbe, and don't agree with everything he says, but Warren Wiersbe's got some great, it's from a pastoral perspective. It's basically a preaching commentary. Basically, it's laid out, I guess I like it because I preach a lot, but it's laid out in the sermon format. So it's got points, it's got illustrations, it's kind of light. Another good resource would be Enduring Word Commentary, which is by David Guzik. It's got some great helps in there. It's mostly quotes. So I view that as almost like a little offshoot kind of commentary that has little helps every now and again. If you want to go a little bit deeper, a man named John Phillips has probably become one of my favorite. He was not my favorite in college because I was required to read his commentaries. And all of you guys that went to West Coast, you had to read a John Phillips commentary here or there. But just excellent commentary, deep, deep, deep commentary on the Word of God. If you struggle with some kind of understanding, I was talking to someone just a week ago, they were struggling with their understanding of Revelation. I said, hey, if you want to dive deep into that, you need to buy John Phillips' commentary on Revelation. and so many other commentaries that are great that I won't go into, but you could talk to me individually. And as long as you're a mature Christian, I can give you some others that some you have to really chew the meat, spit out the bones, so I wouldn't feel comfortable saying them in public. But those three, those are excellent commentaries for any believer to help them study the Word of God as well. Now, commentaries can't become equal to you reading and studying the Word. Commentaries are a help in your understanding of the Word. 2 Timothy 2:15. Amen. That Bible verse is specifically to pastors. However, we are told in the book of Acts to be Bereans and to study to see if these things be. So we are required. I'm sorry, you were saying, what did you say? Oh, they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. Why? Because they studied and they wanted to see if what was being preached, even by Paul, think about that. They were hearing from the Apostle Paul, and still the Berean said, let me check my Bible to make sure that's right. That should be our spirit. Now, we shouldn't do that in such a spirit where every single thing I say, you're like, But if I say something that sounds off, or I say something that you're like, oh, does the Bible really say that? It's your responsibility to study and make sure you're being noble, as the Scriptures say. Apply it faithfully. So not just study it regularly, apply it faithfully. James 1, 22 through 25. James 1, 22 through 25.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Amen. So very clearly that when you look into that perfect law of liberty, when you look into the Word of God, it will show you things to apply to your life. Did I skip someone on Psalm 119, verse number 11? I skipped you, Titus. Go back. Let's do that, because I love that verse. Go ahead and read that for us. I realize I skipped it under meditate on it continually. Go ahead. Amen. I love that verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I love that. Hide God's word in your heart. Apply it faithfully. So read it, hear it, memorize it, meditate on it, and study it. Do not neglect to obey it. Do not neglect to obey it. God's word will transform your life. As you grow in the knowledge and application of God's word, you will find it. Find it will literally transform your life. Romans 12, verse number 2. Amen. God's plan for our transformation as Christians is that it would come from the inside out, that as our minds are renewed by the truths of the Word of God, those truths would then impact our actions and change our lives. So inside out and then renewed on your blanks there. God's Word is to be so much a part of our lives, particularly our thinking, that is like a branch engrafted into a tree. James 1:21. Amen. So it's saying, lay aside all of the dearth of sin, the superfluity, that means the overflow. It's so funny. I've been talking about that. There's been two people this week where I've actually talked about this verse and the meaning of superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity is the overflow of naughtiness, and naughtiness is the deepest, vilest of sins. So lay apart the overflow of the vileness of your life and cling to the Word of God is what that verse is saying. So there's a dichotomy there. Of the Word of God helps you lay aside those disgusting sins. God's Word is to be, there are many ways that God's Word can transform our lives, but notice these three in particular. Understanding the Bible increases your knowledge of God. Understanding the Bible increases your knowledge of God. We don't read God's Word merely like a textbook. We read it to know our Lord better. 2 Peter 3:18. Amen. Obeying the Bible produces Christ-like maturity. Obeying the Bible produces Christ-like maturity. When you become a Christian, you are born again into the family of God. As we discussed this morning, your nature has changed. Your eternal destiny has changed. You are not to be who you were before. You are now identified with Christ. From that point forward, God desires for you to be on a path of spiritual maturity, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. As you let the Holy Spirit use God's Word to transform your life, you will become more like Jesus, that you might be made perfect. That word perfect is mature. The Christian life is not about us being sinless. It's about us reducing the sin and moving towards good works in our life. We will never be sinless this side of eternity. We will not. You have likely sinned already today. Several times. How many of you have sinned today? Probably, right? We all sin. We all sin every day more than likely. And it'll be a daily part of our life because of our nature that we fight in the flesh. Paul gave us that very clearly. I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do. It's the flesh battling the spirit, but we should desire to mature by our obedience to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3, verse number 18. So obeying the Bible produces Christ-like maturity. Also, continued use of the Bible produces spiritual discernment. Continued use of the Bible produces spiritual discernment. As you continue to read, study, meditate on, and obey God's Word, your ability to apply it to a specific life situations and to discern right from wrong is sensitive areas of your life will develop. Again, as I talked about a couple of weeks ago, if I started preaching error, would you know it? Would you know it? And that's a great—it's a great thing to know. If someone's preaching error, if someone's trying to deceive you, it's unfortunate that many of the Mormons are people that once were Christians. And the Mormons know exactly how to deceive baby Christians that have been saved, but they have such a limited knowledge of the Bible, they can easily be deceived because they say, hey, we believe in the same Jesus. No, they don't. Hey, we have the same gospel. No, they don't. And they can easily deceive someone who's not deeper in the Word. So do the best you can to study the Word of God. Continued use of the Bible produces spiritual discernment. Hebrews 5, 13 through 14. Amen. Always remember that the goal of reading, studying, and memorizing God's Word is not merely knowledge, it's transformation. Not merely knowledge, and I could just say amen and amen and amen to that, because what is the point of learning the Bible if you don't live the Bible? You're just that much more accountable for your sin and for your continuation of your sinful nature. And if you're just learning and not living, there's a serious problem on judgment day for you, because you're going to be judged according to your knowledge. And God he knows what you've learned, and he knows if you've applied it or not. So just some key things of application. One of the key decisions a Christian can make to continue growing in their walk with God is to make God's Word part of their routines of life. Set a regular time for reading your Bible. Have a daily time and place. Develop a habit of applying God's Word to your life. And lastly, on page 126 there, make Scripture memory an ongoing practice in your life. Now, I can tell by how much time we have left, we don't have time to get into the next lesson, but we have something special I want to do. My father-in-law is here. Allison's dad is here. And Skip is his name, Skip Kirby. He's gone through the curriculum a couple of times, I believe, with some different people, and he's been through some specific training for that. So on the screen, there is a slide. There you go. Hey, good job, man. Good job. He just skipped a lot. That was a good job, buddy. All right, so Brother Skip, if you want to, skip it. Just skip it, and we'll get to our interview over here. If you'll give us 10 seconds.